This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 1st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Legal Issues in the News tackles the subject of God in the courtroom. We'll hear from commentator Amy Guida. We'll also get our forecast for the next 48 hours across Illinois and Indiana from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. The Republican primary for State Representative Bill Black's seat now has two candidates, a Danville alderman and that city's mayor. Scott Eisenhower says he's decided after weeks of contemplation that he'll run for the 104th district seat. Eisenhower has been Danville's mayor since 2003. He believes his experience with municipal issues and his leadership post with the Illinois Municipal League would give him a leg up in the legislature. Alderman Terry Baldwin announced his candidacy over the summer, shortly after Black said he would retire after 21 years in office. Black later said he would reconsider his retirement if Baldwin was the only candidate to run for the post. Instant runoff, or ranked choice voting, is used to select the President of Ireland, legislators in Australia, and local officials in a handful of U.S. cities. Now, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, supporters of the voting method hope Urbana will become the first Illinois city to elect its officials the instant runoff way.
Citizens for Instant Runoff Voting filed petitions with the Urbana City Clerk on Friday to put a referendum on the February 5th primary ballot. If Urbana voters approve the measure, they'll be agreeing to a method that allows them to choose their favorite candidate and then to mark their second favorite candidate, third favorite, and so on. If no candidate in a contest gets 50% of the vote, the last place candidate is eliminated and the second choice votes are added to the totals. The process continues until one candidate gets a clear majority. Referendum organizer Durrell Cruz says instant runoff voting will bring out more voters and more candidates.
I think it encourages more people to run for office. It will allow the candidates to focus more on issues in a positive way. Voters, instead of just voting for a single candidate, now have an interest in all of the candidates since they can express their opinion regarding each of the candidates.
If approved in Urbana, instant runoff voting would only apply to municipal races for mayor, city council, and city clerk. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Few details have been released about the discovery of a decomposed body over the weekend in Danville. Vermilion County Coroner Peggy Johnson says the body's yet to be identified. It was found Saturday evening behind the 100 block of Commercial Street on the bank of the Vermilion River. She says an autopsy is set for later today. The Illinois General Assembly is back in session today for the fall veto session. Amanda Vinicky previews what's expected to go on.
It's called veto session because it's when lawmakers can take action on the governor's vetoes, all 80 or so of them. Rod Blagojevich's veto pen has struck down measures ranging from one that would have raised the speed limit for trucks to one that changes community colleges' ethics guidelines. But the veto that's received the most attention is the $500 million Blagojevich cut from the budget. The House will hold a hearing at the Capitol today on the impact of the cuts and then likely vote to restore the money. However, the Senate president has said he won't allow a vote in that chamber. If he stays true to his word, the governor's cuts will remain. Negotiations will also continue on a statewide infrastructure program, gambling expansion, and a bailout for Chicago's mass transit systems. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A new digital radio system frees up lines of communications between Champaign County's emergency personnel. We have that story from AM 580's Jeff Bossert.
Metcalf's Digital Interoperable Communications Environment, or MDICE, will allow for simultaneous conversations between numerous agencies. Metcalf 911 Coordinator Greg Abbott says the $6.4 million digital system has taken a couple of years to install and consists of five towers placed throughout the county. He says MDICE will become essential in many situations, from fires and traffic accidents to a potential terrorist attack.
The ability for a police officer to talk to a firefighter and a firefighter to talk to a public works truck and an ambulance to talk to the police officer, you know, all the people that may be responding to an incident can actually communicate.
Abbott says large metropolitan areas are still trying to afford the communications system. In Champaign County, MDICE was largely paid for through an increase in 911 surcharge fees approved by voters. Illinois State Police and federal agencies are already using it. Abbott says after the radios are installed in fire trucks, police cars, and ambulances, they'll be given to local agencies like Public Works and Animal Control. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A Southern Illinois man whose grandson is one of the six black teenagers at the center of a racially charged controversy in Jena, Louisiana, has a message for the young man. Ernie Griffin wants his grandson, Bryant Purvis, to stay in school and focus on his career. The 65-year-old Griffin moved to Alton in 1973 after growing up in New Orleans and Jena. He says he's saddened by what he sees going on in that town. Purvis is one of six teens accused of beating a white student at Jena High School. Five of the teens were initially charged with attempted second-degree murder, but the charges for four of them were eventually reduced. Tens of thousands of mainly black protesters have flocked to Jena since the teens' arrest to challenge what they consider unfair treatment of the students. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The word heavenly is one that no one on either side of a typical lawsuit would use to describe the pending litigation, but that could change when God's pulled into the action. It's happening now, and it's happened before. As commentator Amy Guida explains in Legal Issues in the News, God is no stranger to the inside of a courtroom.
The newspapers buzzed late last month with word that God, the one with a capital G, had been named as a defendant in a lawsuit. Something about God's role in natural and other disasters. More buzzing a few days later when God filed a quick response. It's pretty unusual to file a right-back-at-you pleading, so you may wonder why God was so ready, legalese and all. Well, aside from the whole omnipotent and all-knowing thing, God's no stranger to people in black robes, and I'm not talking about the priesthood here. Turns out that God's been a litigant before, on both sides of the versus line. Some quick jurisdictional background. These lawsuits have always been filed in federal court. And that makes sense on diversity of citizenship grounds, because God's in heaven and we're on earth. West Virginia is almost heaven, so it seems that there'd be diversity of citizenship even there. It was way back in 2000 that God first entered the courtroom fray in a role other than in an occasional appearance after a "please God don't let them send me to prison" prayer. Someone sued on God's behalf back then, explaining that the Almighty didn't much like the television program Touched by an Angel. It's not quite clear from the pleading exactly what God found so upsetting about what seemed to be a program that made God look pretty good. The plaintiff explained only that God had instructed him to see this evil injustice through. God sued in another context 1 year later, on grounds that humans had made a covenant with God but hadn't kept their part of the bargain. God, apparently in prison at the time, admitted to several aliases in the lawsuit, including Yahweh and Ra, which may have led the judge to become a bit suspicious of the creator's credibility. That and the surprising request, should God win, for either God's release from prison or for plentiful gold, fish, and trees. In that case, the court praised God for excellent typing skills. That could have emboldened God just a bit. Just last spring, God sued again, a lawsuit against a new defendant, asking for royalties based on others' use of the Bible, a book God called his autobiography. In those cases, God didn't have a prayer, and the courts dismissed the actions. But God fared much better as a defendant. Those who dare to sue God have thus far been unable to prove otherworldly causation. The closest that's come is God's apparent role in a lawsuit brought by a reader of a book titled Answered Prayers Guaranteed. The court dismissed the action even before God could be brought in as the deep pocket co-defendant. Which brings us back to the most recent lawsuit brought against God. As I write this, it's still pending, and God's response argues not only that God is immune from laws here on earth, but that God wasn't served notice of the lawsuit correctly. They say the response came from Texas, Corpus Christi. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Meteorologist Meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast calls for some rain to move into the two-state area for the early part of this week. The forecast for today in the north, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In central sections, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a few scattered showers. And in southern Illinois, mostly sunny still. Southern Indiana may see some scattered showers early with clouds, then some sunshine later. Highs ranging from around 70 in the north to 82 in the south. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy with patchy dense fog forming and lows ranging between 54 and 60. For tomorrow, in northwestern and west central Illinois, mostly sunny for much of the day with scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving in the late afternoon. But Tuesday should be sunny elsewhere, with highs ranging from 78 in northeast Illinois to 86 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.